welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors and artists on books, movies, DVDs, collectibles, pretty much anything to do with the national pastime. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. This week we're talking with Matthew Silverman, author of several titles about the New York Mets as well as other teams and baseball in general. In recognition of the Mets' 50th anniversary, he published two books, New York Mets, The Complete Illustrated History, and Best Mets, 50 Years of Highs and Lows from New York's Most Agonizingly Amazing Team, which may prove to be prophetic for the coming season. Matthew Silverman has also served as an editor for such large-scale publications as Total Baseball and other reference works.
So you've got two new books out, relatively new books out. The New York Mets, A Complete Illustrated History, and Best Mets, 50 Years of Highs and Lows from New York's Most Agonizingly Amazing Team. So are you basically all Mets all the time?
We're trying to move away from it a little bit. Some of that came about with those two books, and they're spaced more than a year apart, more or less, was to... I guess take advantage of the 50th anniversary coming up, and one is more of as the thing says, complete illustrated history with something on every year, and follows more chronological bent, whereas the Best Mets is more back and forth and this and that and comparing different teams.
Now, you've written both what I guess could be considered reference books and more things of a narrative line. Do you have a preference between them?
I like to do both. I'm working more on more narrative stuff, hopefully in the future. But I really do like the reference stuff. I came from a I have a reference background, having worked at Total Baseball and the Baseball Encyclopedia and a bunch of other team books, a lot of which we did back in the 90s, a lot of for football too. So I really enjoy those books, and I like coming up with kooky sidebars and things like that, which, writing narrative books, the publishers tend to frown on, and the public seems to not like as much either. But I do like them, and so I like to do both. It is a little, I think it's a little more work doing the narrative books and the interviews and such that people have come to expect to come with those. I think they're a little harder to do, and I think there may be more rewards with doing those, but I do like doing the both books. I probably have more experience doing the reference books, but as I said, working towards doing more narrative stuff as well.
Now, continuing on that theme for a second, what do you enjoy more, the research or the writing?
I think I enjoy the writing because, especially with the Mets books, it really enables me to take what I know and just kind of create different things from it. I have done a lot of different Mets books, I really try to, it's the same information in a lot of different things, especially when you're trying to give an overview, but try and at least come up with different ways of presenting it and, ways to keep myself engaged as well as hopefully the reader. I remember reading the Stephen Ambrose books on World War II, and I was really fascinated until after about four or five of them, I realized that I had read this exact same passage in a previous book, and he ended up having some problems with some passages that had come from other people as well. So I always tried to, for people who did follow through the books, I always wanted to keep it, moving along. And just like, writing about World War II in the same, 24-month period or so that most of the action took place, trying to present it in a different way and keep like myself and everybody else interested and maybe learn something.
You've published so much in just the last few years. Are you worried you're going to run out of material or variations on the themes, as you've said?
Yeah, there's a lot of different there's a lot of different aspects that I've done, and one of the things looking to do is maybe break out in some different areas. But as I'm sure you've known and experienced and heard, is that you know, just like in many other walks of life, you tend to get typecast. And trying to break out of that a little bit. But on the other hand, at various points, I've had people constantly at one point asking me to do 4 different Mets books in 1 year.
Wow.
And picking and choosing which ones I wanted to do, which was a nice option to have. But it doesn't help when the team, you know, the team doesn't really, hasn't really helped sell many books in the last year or two. You know, basically going on people's past love of the team.
Now, let's go back a minute. You have worked on other sports besides baseball. Considering that you've written so much about baseball, I'm guessing that that's your first love, your preference when it comes to that. How is writing for, let's say, a reference book on football differing from a reference book on baseball, such as Total Baseball?
It is a little different because the football audience, in sometimes you're not sure that it even exists, but there's such a wide number of people that could, you know, avail themselves to it. And a lot of the books I've written for have probably been, you know, I think the average, even though, you know, the attendance figures for a baseball team are always huge by comparison to football, I think most teams in most markets have more football fans because it lends itself to a lot more casual fans that, you know, might end up with a book in their hands. But I think that you can, there's always so much more that you can teach people about football history because a lot of people don't know anything about it. The game, even the NFL, really puts itself on a what happened last week and what happened next week kind of thing. But whereas baseball, I think a lot of the appeal, and one of the reasons that there's so many different books on different subjects in baseball, is because, you know, baseball, half of the attraction to a lot of people is the past and its ties to the past and what might have happened before, even though, you know, even during the World Series, when you're really just concentrating on who's winning this game, you know, there's so much time during a game that there's a lot of talk about things that happened in the past, and it adds to the luster of what you're watching at the moment.
Now, you say you talk about the time element. Is that one of the reasons that baseball has so much material written about it, because it's a slower-paced game, whereas football, just by nature of its speed, there's not a whole lot of time to sit and discuss and analyze the past?
I think so. You know, usually when you hear people talking about football history, the game is really out of hand, and usually they don't last that long because you can almost hear the producer screaming in the microphone, talk about, you know, a celebrity or something. Stop talking about the Cleveland Rams. You know, whereas baseball teams, there's, you know, even for tragic and sad teams, there's some kind of, you know, there's some kid that remembers that team fondly. I mean, I have people that I'll run into and we'll bond just over the, you know, 1978 Mets or something like that, whereas, you know, the 78 Giants, people don't remember quite as well, the football Giants at least, or Jets.
Talk a little bit about your work on Total Baseball. What aspects of it were you responsible for?
I had come in, I think it was the 5th edition when I was hired, and they were pretty much finishing with it. And David Petruccia, who was did a lot of has done a lot of books as well, and he ended up taking a job with in the Pataki administration, and out of nowhere, I was suddenly, you know, kind of a field promotion, moved from, you know, corporal to captain, and took over the production of the I think it was the 6th edition of Total Baseball, and really picked it up from the ground running. And the company, which was Total Sports Publishing at the time, was going through some different changes, and we had a lot of different stuff going on, and I was one of the few people who was on hand in the New York area available to do it. And back then, I've done books subsequently, And a lot of it is now done at your house, you know, sending stuff back and forth. But back then we would go, you know, spend weeks at the typesetters looking over stuff and staying in hotels and going in every day for a week or two. And so mine was overseeing it. I guess managing editor was the technical, my technical job. We had people who had written stuff that we'd have updated, but we also tried to create new stories and new articles and different aspects on different things for each edition. Because back then, the internet was more like a toy than anything that people used for general information of that type. And we've still, the total baseball, the first edition that I did worked on was, I think, $58 or something, which you couldn't even begin to charge now for a book like that. And then I did the seventh edition as well.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar, Total Baseball is a massive volume, mostly of statistics, but with dozens of essays and articles as well that were updated. Was it put out every year at that time, or
no? It was when they first did it. They did it every other year. Mm-hmm. But I think the first edition they had a slim volume that came out in between with the stats. Mm-hmm. And then they stopped doing that, but we did it every 2 years, and like I said, it was large. I believe 2,300 pages, and right. We had an actual limit to how many pages we could have it. That it wouldn't fit on a press anymore, and I think that was somewhere in the 2,400s. And each year you have you just add a certain number of pages because
there were
guys,
players,
you know,
sure.
More players, even if they come up and they only play once. That's still a certain number, you know, certain line. And Pete Palmer was in charge of, you know, not to leave the impression that I came up with, you know, was sitting there with my calculator out there coming up with all this stuff. Pete Palmer, the acclaimed and famed statistician and writer, came up with the stats and still does for some of the things that worked on. And I would be in charge of getting it in there and making sure that it didn't get disconfigured in the you know, when it was being punched out by the typesetters and all, which sometimes that did happen.
Now, as you say, the internet has made such volumes like that, as entertaining as they were, somewhat obsolete between all the sites that post statistics and all the blogs that post the articles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, I have to admit that I use the, you know, Baseball Reference probably, on an average day, I will use it maybe a dozen times or so. And Football Reference actually has come a long way as well in the last few years. And I'm working on a book on trivia. And did all for all the teams in Boston, and I can't tell you how many times I was on the reference site going back and forth and checking different things. And even though I have the books here, it is I don't really work on the books anymore, so I can admit the truth that it's easier coming up with a lot of this stuff and finding it quickly on the web.
Absolutely, absolutely. What are you working on now?
Right now working on a book on the 1973 baseball season. Say Goodbye to America is what it's going to be called, and through Globe Pequot Publishing, and this Boston trivia book that should be out in the next year. And then, you know, then we see what happens. I've been working on both of those for a while, and working on some application stuff. I guess apps you would generally call them with some sports related stuff for some different companies as well.
And Say Goodbye to America was the line Willie Mays used in his last season, the tribute the Mets gave him.
Yes, it's been interesting because growing up a Mets fan, I mean, that someone says that and I immediately know what it is, but I cannot tell you how many publishing executives needed a refresher course on what that meant. But you know, and we'll tie in some other things that were happening at the time. So I've been reading. I've got a stack of books from about the 1970s that's nearing the ceiling at this point.
Now, you mentioned you don't just write about the Mets. You've written, one of my favorite books of yours is Mets by the Numbers, and you have books about the Cubs and Red Sox along the same lines. But you didn't write the book about the Yankees. Is there some sort of philosophical reason for that?
It just kind of worked out that way. I wasn't, those books were an incredible amount of work. That's why I usually found someone, to work on them with, because they just weren't, it just didn't make sense to do it from a, it took so much time to work on one of those that it needed someone else to create it and do it right. And the Yankees one, the company found someone else to do it. I have to admit I was a little annoyed at the time, even though I didn't really want to work on it. But I did work on it at the end, and actually the images that are in the book I chose, and still have the cards around here somewhere.
Oh, so it's got nothing to do with the Mets Yankees rivalry.
It's a dirty secret that I've probably worked on a couple of different Yankees books and actually, to say goodbye to America, one of the sections is on the Yankees, just because they 73 team. The more you delve into the year, there's the more interesting, kind of non-Yankee stuff was in there that I could not resist kind of digging in with both hands. I grew up in the 70s in New Rochelle with our class becoming 30-3 in favor of the Yankees and getting nothing but grief. So I personally have no love for the Yankees, but I have worked on some of their books. not with my name on it, usually with a name on the inside,
Very good. We've been speaking with Matthew Silverman, author of numerous books about the New York Mets and other baseball teams and other sports. You can find out more about him at metsilverman.com. That's MetSilverman.com. Matthew, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks very much, Ron.
And that was our conversation with author Matthew Silverman. For more information, visit metsilverman.com. And that'll do it for another edition of the Baseball Bookshelf Podcast. Our guest next week will be Kurt Smith, author of numerous books about the radio and television broadcasters who have brought the game to fans for almost 100 years. His newest title marks the 100th anniversary of the Boston Red Sox's storied stadium. Mercy, a celebration of Fenway Park's centennial told through Red Sox radio and TV, hits the stores on May 31st. Don't forget to check in regularly at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com and send us your questions and comments to Ron Kaplan at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com. So long, everybody.